HBCU. Cloudy Nation. Purple and gold family. Stand to your feet. Put your crossbones up and lean side to side. Yeah, and lean side to side. Yeah, and lean side to side. Come on. Yeah, welcome to the island, man, it's crazy in here. A whole sea of purple and gold waving in here. Keep a plank, quarter short, tank, traders beware, because we got a whole bunch of rowdy sailors in here. Huh. Armed and ready, bang the lane, be aware, because if the backboard break, glass will spray everywhere. We're lighting up the school.
Welcome into the Pirate Playback right here on the Sports Objective as I'm in Heartbreak Hotel. I have the penthouse. I think I've had it for the last few years, ready to sell that penthouse. Here is Pirates lose a heartbreaker today in Dowdy Ficklin, 20-17. With us right now, Kyle from LaGrange. Barber, how are you, man?
Oh, it's another great day to be a Pirate. It's nice to be back in Dowdy Ficklin again. Beautiful day, but things just didn't go the way we wanted. Very disappointed.
No doubt. I want to give a shout-out to Bubba Rosenbaum. I know he's producing, and now he's back on the road. Want to appreciate him for all he's doing behind the scenes. Appreciate you, Bubba. I know you're keeping it between the lines, as they say. And also, want to say hello to Alan Thomas, AT, former mayor of Greenville and mayor of Pirate Nation, right, my friend?
Yeah, great day in Greenville. If you ever want to be head of the Chamber of Commerce or a mayor, today was a beautiful day, one to show off your community. But it was a great day, except for the final 3 seconds in Dowdy Ficklin today. A lot to talk about in this game, a lot of room for improvement. So let's have at it.
All right. And also from the Pat Dye era, he came on a little bit early. We'll have Captain Bunk, Terry Gallagher. How are you, sir?
I tell you, I'm feeling a lot of things. I'm not sure yet where to start. So.
Well, let's start with AT because I know AT has been patiently waiting in the green room. And yep. AT, I'm gonna let you have it at first because I know you've got to go in a little bit, and I always want your insight and perspective on the Pirates.
Well, look, you know, obviously we're all disappointed not to get the win today. There were some good things in this game. I mean, we could take a lot out of this game. We have the best punter, I think, in the NCAA. Oh my God. I'm trying to start with some of the positives that I know we're all going to agree on. You know,
you suck when you start off with the great punter comment.
Hey, the first play, how about the first play of the game?
His average today, right? You know,
the first play of the game was great.
Yeah, I mean, I really thought there were some things, some aspects that were alluded to this summer that we would see a lot more of as we got into week 2 and 3. You know, we heard a lot about how our tight end room was just exceptional. Putting tight ends out there and creating matchup difficulties. And, you know, I watched Tom Brady and Gronkowski play the other night, and you know, I didn't quite see that combination, you know, today. We're still waiting to see some things that have been alluded to. But, you know, you're right, great start, just like last week. I think we all felt like we probably played one of the top 2 or 3 better teams on our schedule a week ago when we played Appalachia. No doubt, phenomenal team, top to bottom. They're a true contender, you know, for upper echelon. And we don't doubt that. We, you know, tested in battle, but we also felt like South Carolina had a lot of holes. And we felt like today was going to be a team not as good as Appalachia and playing at home in front of a big crowd, an opportunity for a win. But, you know, guys, you know, we did some great things today schematically on defense that really put South Carolina in a stress position. They had a lot of unforced errors as well. Their quarterback really is a struggle, not on the same page with their receivers, and they were really out of sync early. I mean, we took all the wind out of their sails early in momentum, and with the big trick play, you know, big quarterback, a pitch to wide receiver pass to Ty Hatfield for 75 yards. Turned out that was the highlight of our day offensively. You know, you remove that one big play early and from our offense, and I guess we only had about Holton, I think, had 77 yards passing today and two interceptions. And gentlemen, that's just not good enough. And Holton owned it. It was great to hear the press comments from Coach coach is always going to be diplomatic, but what I like about Holden is he's going to say, you know, probably the best defensive performance we've seen at ECU, which I'm elated about, what our aggressiveness and what our linebackers did. But as I told you guys, because we were all messaging during the game, at some point, if you don't put your boot on the throat of an SEC-level athletic team, their athleticism is going to come back to bite you late in the game. And that's exactly what happened when we left 2-3 scores on the table in the first half. We had a chance to go into it halftime, even with a pretty anemic offensive performance, to be up 21-24 at half. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, Shane Beamer is just trying to find a way to get to Georgia next week. But, guys, that's why the ball is shaped the way it is. You know, things are going to happen differently. And we've got a real program issue on offense, not a game issue, a program issue. And, you know, some comment online earlier after the game, some folks' comments being made by everybody wants to point fingers when it's tough. But, you know, there was a point, and I didn't want to make any judgment game one or game two. And, you know, Marshall's coming up next week. But at some point, you know, Ruffin McNeil, 2 years into his tenure, you know, almost lost his job for his loyalty to his defensive coordinator, and really turned the program around when he was able to take an assessment of staff and make a decision to make a change. Yep. Look, I watched Coastal Carolina play last night. I see a number of teams. Coastal's center for their line is 5'9", 300 bucks, undersized team. Guess what? They run a scheme that matches to their talent. And at this point, football, you can't do one size fits all. There's things you want to accomplish as a team. And at some point, you know, as a head coach, I know Coach Houston and others are really going to have to take a hard assessment of matching the style of what they want to do with the talent we have here. I'll argue with anybody all day from a skill standpoint that we have a number of players here that are as good as anybody we've ever had. But it takes success to breed success. I like the way our defense is going. But, gentlemen, Marshall, that we're playing next week, Tulane that's coming down the pipe, our first 4 or 5 games, there's going to have to be some substantial changes the way that we do things schematically. You know, there's a lot more I could say. I think Holton's probably more engaged with a stronger arsenal from a spread standpoint, maybe at D.H. Conley, than the sophistication of what we're trying to accomplish right now. We got to make some changes in the way we're approaching it. I'm counting on this staff to do it. If they can't, from a professional standpoint, we got to make some decisions here, gentlemen, move the program forward.
Yeah, I agree with you, Alan. And I said earlier, called in Pirate Radio on the way home just for the hell of it. I love Mike Houston. I think he's a good football coach. I think he's got the wrong idea of how to win here. Look, Donnie Kirkpatrick, you know, don't forget, he coached under Lincoln Riley. So while he's running this offense, I put a lot of it on Coach Houston. I think Coach Houston wants to be a run the ball downfield, throw the ball when you have to football team. It just does not fit our personnel. And we don't have an offensive identity. What you need to do at East Carolina, particularly to pull upsets, to beat a South Carolina offensively, you need to take advantage of speed. We need to be running tempo and be running spread. And we're not doing that at all. What we're doing does not make any sense at all for the personnel we have and the personnel we can get. I don't know what they're thinking. When you're at JMU, you've got more talent than everybody else in the FCS. When you're at East Carolina, you don't have more talent than, you know, half the schools in the American, let alone South Carolina. Now, with that said, South Carolina's offense is awful. They don't have their quarterback. They're playing a GA quarterback. I credit our defense for keeping us in the ball game, but I'm going to put a lot of that on South Carolina's offense being bad. The difference in the ball game today, really, in that first half, there's two plays that stand out to me. One was the missed field goal in the first half. The other, and this is the one I told my wife when it happened. We were up 14-0. When Holton threw that pick six right before half, I said, we're going to lose the game. I said, it's 14-7 now. I said, we're going to lose this football game. And we just lost all the momentum. Touchdown ball game against an SEC school. We're not going to be able to move the ball very much against them. And eventually it's going to come back and bite us. Had as bad as Holton played today, had he not thrown that pick six, we'd have won this football game. We would be sitting here tonight talking about a three-point win, something like that.
Yeah, it'd have been an ugly baby win. You know, that's what it would have been. You're right. We'd have won 20-13 or something like that, and we'd have been happy to say, "Man, I'm glad that was done." It's a great.
Yeah, it would have been our first win over South Carolina in 22 years.
That's right, and we'd have been thrilled with it. But also, somebody called that play, and I was sitting there with those that were sitting with me. I'm like, this is one time that I do just want to hand it off, forcing the burnt time out.
Yeah, me too, Alan.
A half, right? And play smart ball and come out in the second half and, you know, take care of business, even though we had missed a lot of opportunities. But go back and listen to Holton's comments tonight. I really enjoyed hearing him talk in the press conference, and not so much about, you know, blame or casting blame on anybody else. He didn't. But he made some comments about not taking advantage to opportunities underneath in the quick game. Literally said that. So maybe there's some disconnect here between, you know, where his skill set came from and what we're trying to get done. That was only a brief comment that was made, but it really stuck out to me in his comments tonight. And I tell you, if some folks want to stick around here, they got to start finding a way to be productive in a way that will succeed, as Kyle says, because you're absolutely on point here. We've been around for a while. And while we have moved to a different level of ball, we also know what it takes and what you can recruit to here. And we've seen that succeed. And to get it done, I appreciate what some coaches want to do, guys. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about getting W's. No bones about it. South Carolina may not win an SEC game.
Nah.
They're not good. Maybe they get the running back and another quarterback back, but you know, with our opportunity here, if you let an SEC athletic level team stick with you in the fourth quarter, it's going to come back to bite you if you don't get it done. And guys, we need to talk through this loss, because it's going to dictate whether we're going to be sitting here at 1-4.
Alan, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
When you look back, and any of the other guys chime in too, but when you look back at season one, all right, our offense struggled early. Then you remember at the end of the year, the Cincinnati game, the SMU game, the UConn game, and then we stunk it up against Tulsa. But we had a three-game stretch there where our offense was humming. SMU, Cincinnati, UConn.
Yeah.
All right. Then last year, really starting with the Tulsa game, with the exception of the Cincinnati game, which they were destroying everybody, our offense was pretty good. And then the last two games, really good against Temple and against SMU. All right, the beginning of last year, after the end of year one being good, our offense sucked. Now, at the beginning of year three, our offense sucks again after being good at the end of last year. I cannot compute that in my brain. At the end of each year, it looks like the offense is turning the corner, and then the beginning of the year, it looks like they're in a brand new offense again, like they have no clue what the hell they're doing.
They regress, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and some of that comes down to how teams try to approach us. I think what we saw, South Carolina did a cut and paste of what they thought Appalachian did last week, which was try to take away, you know, our underneath guy, you know, that we know is so skilled, and he made a few catches here and there. But, you know, some things they tried to take away we haven't solved yet with personnel. And, you know, CJ missed some practice this week, and I don't know the details about that. But we threw six completions in the first half.
Yeah, we have way too much talent. We have way too much talent at receiver. Josiah Hatfield, CJ Johnson, Tyler Snead. You mentioned
Ryan Jones.
You mentioned the tight end room with Ryan Jones,
Calhoun,
and then the kid from North Lenoir that was the number two tight end at Temple and had seen significant playing time at Temple. Has he even stepped on the damn field?
I haven't seen him.
The special teams. And those do create matchup opportunities. And look, at some point, when we've allowed Holton just to take off and go, that's a vital part of our offense. Vital. And sometimes you just got to make that decision. And coaches, if you don't trust your number two guy and number three quarterback, that you aren't doing your job. That's my point. So at some point, you know, Cincinnati, they, you know, their quarterback takes off, you know, list the teams that the quarterbacks, you know, you got to let them play ball at some point. If we're going to, today would have been a great time with a game on the line to set some specific plays to allow Holton to be in a position, five or six plays in that second half. And he did run a couple.
Let
him be a more vital part of that offense. But we ran the ball 38 times today, guys. What do we throw it? 20 sometimes. And I don't know if we were just trying to, you know, rope a dope this thing and find a way to win by three. Maybe we were, but you're right, Kyle. Once we lost that momentum in the first half, we never really regained it. Although we took advantage of a short field, you know, and were able to do some things. And we've got a functional issue. You talk about the Jimmys and Joes. That's true. But also the scheme right now, we got some struggles.
It is more scheme, and I even think people say the O line's bad. I watch the O line at times. I
think they're fine,
and I think they're all right. Particularly if we get rid of the damn ball faster.
Yep.
I mean, you look back under, you know, and I know Lincoln Riley's offense is Lincoln Riley's offense, but under when you're running that scheme. Jiminy Christmas, I could probably play O-line a down or two because you get rid of the ball so fast. You're spread so wide, your gaps are so big, literally just got to take care of that man in front of you for a couple of seconds.
Hey guys, we got some comments we want to get to. There's appreciate everybody for your chime in tonight on Facebook Live, of course, on our YouTube channel, on Twitter. We'll get as many comments as we can. We have so many people that are putting up the comments tonight. So, Bubba, whenever you want to put those up. Brian Pace is saying Houston is too conservative. Skip got away with it because he had an elite defense, but he had quarterbacks who could manage the game. We don't have that right now. They even bit Skip a couple times.
I told Jessica after all the way to the game, I said, if Houston wants to not be conservative, I said, he needs to get Skip on the phone. I said, you know, Skip would have never thrown that middle screen at the end of the first half. If you're going to be conservative, go ahead and be all the way conservative.
Commit to it. That's right. You're either all in or you're all out in that scenario, right?
Yep.
But it shouldn't have come to that. I don't think Holton, in this offense, Holton can't get in rhythm.
Here you go, baby.
You know? But it's good to hear Pays. I mean, Pays was part of the conversation that we had post-game here prior to all this, Kyle, and some of the comments. And, you know, there's a lot of folks. And something I mentioned to Brian, which I think needs to be discussed here as well, you know, we can't put this program on skates. You can't look the – fire a guy every 2 or 3 years. There's never going to be any continuity. There's enough positive here I see, but it's up to Houston at this point. You know, whether
and I agree with you. You shouldn't look to fire a guy, but you know, the problem is there's contracts, Alan. And you know as well as I do, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if Houston goes 2-10, 3-8, this is year 3, which means he has 2 years left on his contract. After year 3, you normally got to extend or fire.
Right.
Because it hurts you so much from a recruiting standpoint to be sitting there with 2 years left on your contract. And I'm not saying that it's going to get fired at the end of this year. I'm not saying we're going to go 2-10 or 3-9, but it's a conversation that if we do go 3-9, it's the conversation is going to happen.
Well,
from
a talent standpoint, you know, and from a macro standpoint, we got a lot of talent potentially, as long as guys don't decide to leave early or transfer or whatever. Next year. I mean, I think we have an opportunity for a peak year in 2022. But also you got to show some progress in scheme and approach and taking advantage of the talent you have this year. And it can cost you your job quick if you aren't willing to do that. That's why I mentioned the Coach Ruff scenario. 2 years into his deal, he was going nowhere fast and was about to lose his job, even with a Lincoln Riley running an offense. And some tough assessments were made and some changes were made that, you know, for his tenure, quite, you know, frankly, turned that around for a period of time.
So, and if you remember the 2013 season, I mean, we had 10 wins, the second in school history with the number of wins. So everybody can talk about, how Conference USA was weak or whatever. We still won.
Well, to be quite frank, if you actually go back and look at it, even Brian, what was his damn name? What was that DC's name? Brian
Mitchell.
Brian Mitchell's last year here, we went 8-4.
Yeah.
The defense lost us the Marshall game, and then, or no, we beat Marshall, but we had to put up 60 some points to do it. And then the bad performance in the bowl game against Louisiana Lafayette. But that was after an 8-4 season they got rid of Brian Mitchell. So let alone, you know, we have sniffed 8 wins. Look, if we get 8 wins here, you know, with this offense we got now, whatever. Let's do it.
Yeah, we weren't playing App and that quality that year. I mean, that's for sure. Some of these other guys that we've got stacked up against us, well, I guess we were by name, but some of these programs have really improved, you know. But look, at the end of the day, today was a winnable game, a game that we should have won. South Carolina wanted to give it to us.
Oh, yeah.
And what we kept messaging during the game, which you guys were all communicating, you know, how bad do you want it? We still have to learn, even if schematically or whatever else is going on, finding a way to win a ball game, staff. And we in a day where our offense was really struggling, you know, find a way to pick it up and get that win.
Yeah, that ball game should have been over at halftime.
Yeah.
It really should have. And I believe, I honest to God, I believe had it been 14-0 at half, it would have been over at half. As weird as that sounds, I still will stand behind that. If we don't give up that pick six, I think we win that ball game. I mean,
I like the aggressiveness of our defense. I like the nose for the ball. Don't forget the first half, they were about to score. You know,
sure.
We ripped them right through the back of the end zone. So we had some plays that were, you know, fortuitous for us, which were great. But I love the way our defense was playing. We were stopping the run. We're doing a lot of good things. But when you have like whatever it was, 10 or 12 three and outs on your offense, we know at some point that's going to come back and burn you. And
how many first downs did we pick up today? I bet most of them were on that last offensive drive.
We were 2 for 16 on third downs today. Two for 16.
Yeah. I mean, that right there tells you everything you need to know, because let's see here. Then we got some more here comments. Richard Allsbrook, we need to give South Carolina's defense some credit. They held us to 2 or 3 first downs, like our D held them to a few first downs until the final drive. We need to do something. We need some offensive identity. I miss the up-to offense. Still love our Pirates.
And Richard makes a great, and we talked about that. The athleticism there is there for South Carolina.
Their D-line is great.
And nobody's going to say that. They have an exceptional D-line. They're vulnerable at DB, the very area which we were not able to attack today. If you're worried about their D-line, then you don't do 5-set drops, guys. Or you find ways to
exactly
them out or spread them out or do things that, you know, that Richard knows we should be doing. And we just aren't doing it schematically. It's definitely not a shot at Holton. First to say he had a bad day. But guys, I mean, there's a lot of things fundamentally that took back and we missed.
AT, you mentioned our pregame show with Chris from the Spurs Up podcast. I don't know if you watched what I told him. I said, I think that their quarterback's going to come out and make a bunch of mistakes. It's going to be a low-scoring game, and we'll have a chance. I said, but I fear, because what Mike Houston wants to do offensively, is that we're going to lose this football game because, you know, we're going to be too conservative offensively. We're going to try to go toe-to-toe with their defensive line, and we're going to get beat up front. And I nailed it. Everything toot my own horn. I wish I would have been wrong. But it kind of went exactly how I thought. We'd have a chance, but we'd try to do things offensively that just didn't work against a good D-line.
Well, and they, you know, they came out with some razzle-dazzle and a few things as we did, you know, because they were struggling to try to make some things happen up front of us. But anyway, guys, I'm going to have to – I hate to bail out right now because it's just the way the schedule worked out today. But I appreciate you so much for having – this is a great show. It's a great format. And it's great when the fans type in and bring questions and get engaged with this. We all want the same thing. We want Pirate football to be back where it needs to be. And it's okay to ask the right questions, guys. And we pay these folks a lot of money to be successful.
Absolutely.
A lot of folks write a lot of checks and because they're passionate and love this university. It's important for ECU football to be successful on a lot of levels. And I think this is one of those games, you know, that hopefully the staff has taken a really close assessment and an honest assessment of how they're approaching this.
Yep.
And put our people in the best position to be successful. And the next stress test is going to be up in Marshall next week, and a really good team, you know, maybe probably somewhere in between talent-wise, I mean, capabilities, but somewhere in between Appalachian and the South Carolina team play today. So to win that, we got a razor level of game. And but thank you for having me on the post game here today.
You're awesome. Appreciate you coming on, man. And we'll see you again next week.
All right, Kyle, keep doing your thing, man. And this thanks so much, Dave and Bubba and everybody. And Captain, appreciate you guys. And let me tell you, that's why we're pirates. It ain't easy being pirates, but we love it with a passion, and we're going to keep fighting and yelling to get it done. Thank you.
Absolutely, man.
P-A-T. You know, and one thing, that what he was talking about there about, you know, losing today and asking questions and paying people a lot of money, I really believe today's attendance was, and I've never heard the official attendance, but it looked to be the biggest crowd we had in there in a while. And I think by losing that ball game today, we probably cost ourselves about 10,000 people showing up for Charleston Southern.
Yes, right. And welcome into the show, the captain. We were trying to get AT as much as he could because we were running out of time with him. Terry, thank you for being patient, my friend. How are you?
Look, I've got very little to add to what Kyle and Alan was talking about. I saw a couple things that that our quarterback did well. Is he does a good job of drawing the defense off sides.
I tell you, yeah. I think that I was going to say that. I think the offensive defensive teams for South Carolina, because of the crowd, I think the crowd was louder than what I expected. But I think that there was a couple times, especially down in the student section, the Boneyard, 40,816 in attendance today, according to Bubba Rosenbaum. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Appreciate you very much,
Terry. What did you see out there? I mean, you're a former player. You coached high school at a high level. What did you see out there today from a schematic standpoint on what the hell we're trying to do on offense against a defense like that? Are you seeing what me and AT saw? It doesn't make a lot of sense what we're trying to do when you're playing that kind of D line.
I'm not so sure it's that, or it's look up. Look, we still have problems. It comes down to execution, how you execute your offense. And when you're going three and out, then you start having issues with, the quarterback goes upfield and pitches it 3 yards upfield. He forward pass, little things like that, that start giving. It's hard to call plays when you have doubt in your mind about how it's going to be executed. So you start trying to call plays based on what you think possibly can happen. And also, we've got to find more receivers to throw to than just Snead and CJ. We do a pretty good job hitting the backside of the backfield, but we got to have more than two receivers catching the ball. And so there's so much you get into. You can nitpick. You can talk about the players, the coaches. I heard there wasn't many hot dogs left, available at one point.
Terry ate about 20 of them. So
actually, no, Terry's not joking. There was a lot of complaints about concessions.
Well, guess what? We were off our game because we had nobody there last year.
We're not used to having.
Yeah, there's no excuses. There's no excuses.
I'm joking. You need to. It's like a party, and whatever you. Let's say you have 20 people over your house. You need to have enough for 40 people, right? Am I wrong on that?
Well, we've in the past we haven't had more than 7,000 at the game, so we might have had plenty for what we.
Well, we knew. We knew it was going to be.
We knew based on ticket sales. We knew based on ticket sales it was going to be.
I personally
think. Look, here's you want me to get down to brass tacks on. I think our whole athletic department has been mismanaged ever since Terry Holland left.
Terry Holland.
From Jeff Confer, Jeff Confer was really easy to hate. The problem with John Gilbert is he's not easy to hate, but he's about as effective as taking a knife to a gunfight.
Well, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, exactly. And so am I. But you know what?
I don't know about that.
But you are?
You well, can be abrasive.
I can be, but I
just, that's the good. Call. That's your good part.
Yeah, I just don't see a sense of urgency from our athletic department. Like this stuff with the Big 12. Let's talk. We'll get back to the game.
Well, this stuff with the Big 12.
In 2013, I had a conversation with Terry Holland. I talked about how we just got in the Big East. Now it's the American. It lost BCS status. And he said, Kyle, it doesn't matter. He said, it's we're the next group that will be elevated to Power 5 or BCS at the time will come from. He said, they're going to come from this conference. There will be another expansion in a few years. And we just need to put ourselves in position when that happens, because now we're going to be in the group they're going to come from. He said, we just need to put ourselves in position to be ready when that happens. We did the complete effing opposite. We couldn't sniff the Big 12 now if we had to. And you can laugh and poke fun at the Big 12 all you want, but I'd rather be there than here. I'd rather be Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston than East Carolina right now. And it's because our athletic department has been mismanaged to death, and it all started. And prior to Jeff Conver, it started with a bunch of assholes who thought they knew what was best for ECU. A bunch of elitists who mm-hmm. ran Holland off, and then the same people let Conver run Ruffin off, and it ran us into the ground.
And then we brought Cecil in.
Oh, don't forget about Cecil. And then we brought Dave Hart in. Dave Hart was going to be the savior. Dave Hart didn't give a shit about what was going on in East Carolina. By the way, you ever got the results of that deep dive? And all he did was hire his buddy. John Gilbert was his buddy from Tennessee, and that's why John got the job. And look, I'm not knocking John Gilbert as a whole, but John Gilbert is not an out-in-front leader. John Gilbert does not get after it and get you excited and get this fan base fired up and all together. I mean, he just doesn't. And, you know, we got Mike Houston, and Mike Houston's who most of us wanted. And bottom line is what we're talking about today is a football game. But Mike Houston's not getting it done. This is year number three. This is year, and I know last year was a COVID year, but you know what? Everybody had COVID. It wasn't just East Carolina experiencing a COVID year.
Wait a minute, in fairness, but wait a minute on that point. I'm glad you brought that up. Not everybody has had to deal with the crap that we dealt with before.
I don't care. No excuses, Dave. No excuse. All right, I'll give you Coastal Carolina. How about you know why Coastal Carolina's having success? Because they have a head coach that has an offensive scheme that he ran at the FCS ranks. He brought it up to the FBS ranks. It is his scheme. Houston ran triple option at the Citadel. He ran what he ran now at JMU. He's a football coach. The guy down at Coastal has a scheme, a system he runs, and he's going to take that system with him everywhere, and that is what he's going to run, and that's what we need in East Carolina. We need something, and Mike Houston can do it. Go get you an offensive coordinator, and I love Donnie. Donnie's a hell of a receivers coach, and Donnie may be doing exactly what Mike Houston's telling him to do. But we need to be running something with some tempo that spreads the ball around. That's what we need to be doing, because – right now, what we're doing, not only is it not working, it has no identity. I don't know what offense we're running. Terry, what offense are we – what would you refer to our style of offense as?
I wouldn't – I can't tell you that because I just don't know exactly what you want to call it. But it's like I say, it don't matter. It don't matter what style or what scheme or anything else if we don't execute. And by execution,
right,
I mean,
we
got to have 11 people doing 11 things correct on each play in order for us to be successful. Bottom line.
But if you have a system like Lincoln Riley has, or Blake Anderson has out at Utah State, or Jamie Chadwell has down in Coastal Carolina, you have a system, you know what's expected of it, and it's easy to teach it, and it's easy to execute it because you have a system. I was thinking about this earlier. I was like, well, if the offense keeps struggling, I said, you know, I wonder if Donnie would be demoted during the season. But here's another problem, guys. Look at our offensive staff. There's nobody else on that staff, to my knowledge, with any offensive coordinator experience, which that indicates a hell of a problem right there. the fact that there's nobody else on this staff qualified to be offensive coordinator, to my knowledge. We don't have a very good offensive staff.
Well, Shankweiler.
Shankweiler has been an offensive coordinator. Yeah, he's been an offensive coordinator, but it's been eons ago. Back when Terry was playing.
Whoa.
He's not that old.
Besides Shank, who else on the staff could call plays?
Here's the crazy part about this whole thing is the defense, I won't say they play out of their mind, but they play, that's the best defensive performance we've seen in a good while.
Yeah, and it is, Dave, but I think their offense sucks.
No, I know that, but still in the past, our defense would have made them look like, I wouldn't say Alabama would, but our defense in the past would have been making, missing a lot of plays. They played a lot better. And you know,
no, they played hard today. They played very hard today. They got after it. They played downhill. They pursued to the ball.
Had we made
the field goal we missed?
Yep.
Had we not thrown two interceptions? Had we not some of the sacks? He's got to get to that point where it's time to throw it and throw it away. Just get rid of it rather than take a sack. But he don't always step up in the pocket like you should, because you know eventually it starts. They're just running around people, and if he keeps going backwards, he's just running to where they're running to.
Terry, so, if he's our best option. If he's our best option. Let me ask you this. If he's our best option, if that's the case, and then that's what Houston keeps saying, do you just tell him, son, if it ain't there, you're not good at making reads, you're an athlete, pull it down and run it every time if it ain't there. If you go through your three, a three-step drive.
I'm not so sure that he didn't get a little rattled when he made that good run and got tackled at the end. He looked like he was maybe not exactly all there.
He should have been taken out of the effing game.
Well, I do question that. Yeah, I would have taken him out for a play or two, or call time out at least.
Yeah,
in this day and age of concussions and CTE, you take him out of the game. You put in if Garcia can't do it, you put in the other kid.
Stubblefield fits more, and I'll say this too. Stubblefield is exactly I think what the problem we have right now is, you heard Coach Houston and Paul Camp, they have flashes of greatness, right? There's like they're not quite there. The other kid. So the problem we have now is
Holton, Dave.
Here's what I think is wrong. You've been talking about scheme. You're absolutely right. What you have to do is you have to make Holton Ahlers, you got to get play to his strengths. We have a ton of playmakers on offense, Our defense is playing all together, and all you have to do is make play, get those guys and let them make plays. The problem is we have a leash on them where we're not letting them make plays, and we're not putting them in a scheme where it makes Holton look like he doesn't know what he is. A good football player. I'm sick and tired of hearing Pirates say he's not a good football player. Let him be Holton.
After first down, they would rush seven and go man across, and their corners. We got to do a better job of not getting held up in that tight coverage, because it looks like a lot of times we just run into them as opposed to finding a way to get by people or get, you know, use a way to there's a way for a receiver to not get held up.
Well, you're right. That's another thing, Terry. Our receiver development's been terrible.
CJ Johnson
has not gotten any better since he was here as a true freshman. And I don't understand that. I do not understand that.
I do. This week, well, for example, he was not. He didn't practice that much. Something with his body, as coach.
I didn't know anything about that.
Well, had he not practiced?
And one of the problems CJ has is everybody knows. All you have to do is talk a bunch of smack to him, get in his face, hold his jersey, and emotionally he can't handle it. That's what CJ not
could have set his ass down.
CJ has to work on.
That's why I say
you
too.
Set, we've got set his ass down, Dave.
We've got to utilize other receivers.
Yep.
Josiah Hatfield is amazing. Look what every time he touches the ball, he does amazing. He's one of the
most.
He's
not a big guy. He's not a very big guy either.
I mean, he's got a lot of talent. We got to use him.
So who else?
Look at the first play of the game. Look at the first play.
That was fine.
We have playmakers. I'm telling you, we have talent.
Sure, we have talent. But
we have the talent.
You talk about people saying that Holton can't play. He's not a good quarterback. What do you expect them to say when that's what they see? So we either have to blame the talent or we have to blame the coaching. So
I said that we're not allowing him to his strengths.
Donnie Kirkpatrick and Mike Houston don't know what the hell they're doing on offense. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying is let him. They used to do it. If you notice, they would have some design plays for him.
Yeah, they used to do it at the end of each football season. I talked about that earlier.
I'm agreeing with you. Go for broke now.
At the end of season one, season two, our offense looked good. And then at the beginning of season two and the beginning of season three, our offense is like utter crap again. I don't understand what happened.
Don't wait till you're 3-6 and begging for
exactly. Exactly. It's ridiculous.
I agree with you. You and I are saying basically the same thing differently, I think. But, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Holton can be a good quarterback. Look at the Tulsa game last year.
He has talent. That's what makes me mad. I didn't say the kid played great today. I'm not kissing his butt. He said he played bad. I'm agreeing with that. What I'm saying is if you want the kid to have a chance to win, this team to have a chance to win, let them. There's so many players. How about Ryan Jones? We do talk about the tight end room. There's a whole bunch of great receivers. I don't think necessarily the offensive line played as bad as I thought.
No,
I'm just saying. I'm saying what you expect, like in your mindset, would be the offensive line may play bad but they didn't play bad.
When you see sacks, people automatically assume it's on the offensive line. That's not always the case.
No. I'm just saying. I know. I'm just saying what you would expect, and they actually. I thought they held their own today to a SEC defensive line that's great with at least one defensive guy that's going first round next year. You got two 5-star recruits on that D line. So I mean, I'm not complaining about the offensive line. That's what I thought would happen, and I was wrong that they would be suspect today. But they actually played okay. What I'm saying is. It's something. There's a disconnect there somewhere when you have that kind of talent. The offensive line played well. I think it's consistency of again and you know something else, guys. It was crazy. Is how many times we've seen it over the last 6 years where we can play between the 20s. We can move the ball up and down the field, but once it gets in that red zone, man, we're like lost or something. I don't know. We need to have some design plays when we get inside the 20. I don't give a damn if it's first and 10, third and 10, second and 10. You know, throw it on first down if you have to. Anything is better than being predictable. But anyway, we'll get some more. Let's get some more while we have a chance. We've got a lot of great guys chiming in here tonight. Brian Pay says that Garcia is going to be in the transfer portal.
It's possible.
South Carolina took their quarterback out to make a couple plays and to try to change momentum. How about our good friend, guy we like a lot, V Pace has always been good to us. How about Josh O'Neill? I would definitely wonder if I did not get a chance to play soon. It breaks my heart saying that I consider Holton a friend, graduated from the same high school. For the schemes, our coaching staff is just wanting to execute. 100% believe he is the better quarterback overall, but neither coaching staff has ever wanted to play his strengths. Thank you, Josh. Absolutely 100% agree with you on that. That's what I'm
Are we not playing to his strengths?
Because we have, because I tell you exactly why. We want him to be something he's not, like what? Kyle's talking about.
So what are we wanting him to be?
We want him to be Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, to be a pocket, like in the pocket, professional. Like, you know, that's not his style. That's not what makes him who he is. So you try to make him something he's not. Great coaches. Listen, this is what I will say for the coaching staff. Great coaches find out what talent they have and they adapt to those guys. And it's wins and losses. It's wins and losses. Kyle was talking about it's wins and losses. So if we go with wins and losses.
Well, I'll tell you.
But if we only want him to roll out or to bootleg or play action, then we got to be able to run the ball too.
No, I know. Action
and bootleg don't work if you can't run the ball.
Well, you know, one thing I wonder why we don't do more with him, and I think we did it today on maybe a touchdown. He should be a good zone read guy. Why don't we do some more zone reads with him where we're, you know, faking it to the back and then let him pull it down and run it more. We probably should do that a lot more with him.
Looked like we did try to do some of that. And in fact, that's what he scored the touchdown on.
Yeah.
He pulled it. And in fact, the running back would have scored two on that play.
Yeah.
Because at that point in time, our offensive line was pushing them back off the ball on the snap. But it's not that we're trying to turn him into a drop back quarterback. It's that just by the nature of the shotgun, it's a drop back. That's what you do with a drop back. If it's a shotgun quarterback, that's what a shotgun is a pre drop. So all we're going to do if we start moving him left or right is we just shut off half the field. You can't go when you start just running, rolling right or left. Then you're taking away part of the field to the quarterback. Because if you start expecting him to throw back across the field, then that's not going to work. But again, I didn't see us throw down the middle deep today.
That's what I was going to say. Here's my thing, and that's another thing. I'm glad you said that, Captain Bunk. You set me up. I was going to say earlier in the broadcast, and I forgot. Is the very fact that we need to keep the defense honest, and Holton does have an arm on it. And hey, even if you try a couple times down the field just to surprise the defense, you never know. You might get a 15-yard penalty where they're holding CJ or one of the pass interference on the defense, whatever the case may be. But when we're not throwing the deep ball, he can throw the deep ball. And to Kyle's point, this is his fourth year. He's a senior technically. I don't know if he's going to be here next year or not, but he has the ability to throw it. He knows the playbook. Let him throw the deep ball. They're not doing that enough, in my opinion.
Well,
go ahead, Kyle. I'm sorry.
Well, they keep saying he's our best option. And if he's our best option and that's the best he can do, then you've done a piss poor job recruiting. Because, you know, unless you're going to admit that what we're doing offensively sucks, if you keep saying that he's our best option, then you've done a piss poor job evaluating talent for the guys behind him. I say let somebody else have a shot, just for nothing else. We'll see. All right, yeah, he's even worse than Holton. We know it's the scheme now, or at least what we're trying to do out of that scheme. I'd give somebody else a shot at some point if it continues down this path. What's it going to hurt? What difference is it going to make?
Just to change the subject a little bit, you know, whenever we had the ball fourth and goal on the six and we kicked the field goal.
That was another six that was 7 points.
I would maybe have thought about going ahead and going for it. Because even if we didn't make it, see, by making the field goal, now we kick off to them. Well, yeah. That's when they had the long run back.
I understand.
So if we'd have just gone ahead and gone for it, so that's say we don't make it, and the worst we are is on the six, they get the ball on their six. Well, shoot, if we'll just, you know, hold them, keep them, make them go three and out, we're going to get the ball back at midfield. Plus, we've moved more time off the clock.
Right.
And I really believe what a lot of our offense was designed to do today was to let the clock run as much as we could let it run. And shorten the game.
Well, I think late in the game, that's what we were doing. But at one point, I don't think that's what we were doing. Because
I believe the whole game, we were trying to make it a shorter game.
With that's fine. Had we not thrown that pick six.
That's right.
It would have worked.
You're right.
Hey, guys, we got Bubba that wants to chime in. Bubba, I knew you wanted a couple points.
A minute ago, Terry, you were talking about, you know, Holton rolling out. Last week against App State, we were sacked. Holton was sacked four times. He was hurried five other times. Today, South Carolina sacked him five times. So, needless to say, a lot of pressure. And today, I did like there in the second half. We started rolling him out some. You saw some stuff in the flat. Just trying to get the ball out and get something accomplished, some type of positive yardage. But, looking at the numbers for the receivers, this is pretty mind-blowing to see this. When we were talking about involving tight ends, I know Ryan Jones had a drop today. I really don't recall him. I'm trying to remember other targets for tight ends outside of that. There may not have been any.
I think there was one pass to
Calhoun missed Calhoun. One.
Calhoun, okay. So Josiah Hatfield, two catches, 90 yards. Obviously, 75 of those came on the opening play of the game from Tyler Snead. So you had Tyler Snead, five receptions for 35 yards. C.J. Johnson, two for 15. 14 of those yards came on that 4th and 13 conversion. Keaton Mitchell, two for 7. Rajay Harris, one for 5. That's it.
So,
you take away Josiah Hatfield's 75-yarder. He had two for 15, and then Snead.
No. Guys, are you there?
Did we lose Bubba?
Bubba, did you mute yourself?
No, it's not
Bubba, your audio.
Hello?
All
right. So, point being that outside of the trick play to start the game, our passing offense was extremely non-existent.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. With the speed Hatfield has, the speed, CJ has, with speed Keaton Mitchell has, Ryan Jones is a hell of an athlete. Something just don't add up. And at some point, it's either scheme or it's quarterback players, combination of both. And, maybe the quarterback's playing that way because of the scheme we're running. And something's got to change. And if Mike Houston and Donnie Kirkpatrick can't see that, then they're both idiots. So, as we head into the Marshall game this week, you don't hold out a lot of hope that we're going to fix it overnight. There's talent there. I don't think that we don't have talent.
That's not true. Exactly, Kyle.
I don't think anybody's saying that. I haven't heard anybody say it at the skill position. We don't have talent. And if the O-line is holding up at times enough, I just don't understand, man. Something just is not right with our offense, and this is year three, and
we would be so happy today had it not been for that pick six right before half. Yep.
Yeah, sure. I would have been happy with the win with the win, Terry.
Yeah,
but I would not be feeling confident about Marshall next week.
I think Marshall's better than South Carolina.
I don't know about that now. I don't think so.
I think Carolina has more talent.
Wait a minute. Let me go back. South Carolina's not going to play that. Zeb Nolan will not be their quarterback next week. You watch. They're playing Georgia, South Carolina.
Correct.
Zeb Nolan won't see the field again except as a graduate assistant.
Marshall is better than South Carolina was today.
Offensively, maybe. And even then, definitely. Not when they started just giving the ball to the ground. And they had a plethora.
Wait a minute. Bubba, oh, shit. Terry, wait a minute now.
They had a plethora of running backs. Wait a minute
now. You might want to go check Marshall's defensive stats for the last 2 years. They've been a top 25 defense.
Yeah, but look at their conference.
still, hey.
They beat the hell out of Appalachian State.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, Marshall is – don't think that Marshall is like – I mean, I'm not saying that
they're easy to beat or anything. I'm just saying they don't have
– South Carolina has more talent than Marshall. Yeah, South Carolina has more talent than App State. South Carolina is not as good as App State. App State would walk the dog on South Carolina. But South Carolina has more talent than them. It's not about the talent.
It's
about the complete package. The finished product is better than the sum of its parts.
Excuse me.
Hey, guys, Richard Alsbrook chimed in a few minutes ago. What was the trick play on the fourth down today? Tyler Snead was taking a snap. When I was talking about C.J. Johnson's 14-yard reception on that fourth down conversion,
I believe they were going to throw it to the sideline. I believe they were going to throw it to the snapper, who was our tight end, number 80.
Okay.
It was a trick play from Steve.
You recall there was a timeout called by South Carolina, which bailed us out. So when we had the bad snap.
I guess it bailed us out. Might have been better off.
That's right. That's right. You never know. But number 80 snapped it, and usually when that's the case, then there was he was the eligible man on the end of the line of scrimmage. So if nobody was on him, a lot of times they don't cover the snap, the guy that snaps it. People just forget. Right? Yeah. So
Marshall crushed Navy. In fact, Brian Pace said that Navy fired their offensive coordinator today.
Ivan
Jasper.
Air Force crushed them too, Brian. I mean, they put up three.
Yeah, Air Force.
Their offense is atrocious. So I mean, I don't know what's happened at Navy. They've
personnel. I'm sure they don't have as good personnel as they've had.
Well, maybe Navy. You know, Navy's never been somewhere that relied on personnel. They relied on scheme.
No, but they've had some quality quarterbacks.
Keenan Reynolds and Malcolm Perry.
Yep. Right.
Malcolm Perry.
That goes through cycles with the military schools.
Man, but Navy's been good going back to 2005.
Well, they're
consistently good.
They usually don't beat themselves.
Yep. They've been consistently good going back to old homeboy that was at Georgia Tech that's from up in Newland. What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Paul Johnson.
Paul Johnson.
Yep. I tell you what, Bubba, I don't know if you're.
We are 0-0 in the conference.
Can anybody give scores? Or does anybody get that Marshall NC Central score?
That what score?
Marshall NC Central.
Now let me get that. I can get it in just a second.
Okay. They're currently playing Central.
App State is only two behind Miami in the fourth.
Yeah. Yeah, no, App looks good. They're the real deal. I just – 7-7, it's Marshall 37, North Carolina Central 7.
There you go. Thank you, Pete. And Pace just put that up as well. Marshall, I know it's North Carolina Central, but Marshall's a good team, and I'm telling you, look, here's the deal. Next week, we always talk about the next game is important, and we got to go 1-0.
It's huge.
Hey. We need to go for broke. Go for broke. Throw every play out there. Pretend like that your job is on the line, no matter if you're a player. No, I'm serious. We need what's missing right now for me. I thought about this in the first half today, guys, and I told our friend Steve Parker from the EC football page on Facebook. The bottom line is urgency. We don't have any urgency like it right now. We're 0-2, and I'm sorry if the coaching staff gets mad at me for saying that, but that's the way it feels. Open the playbook. Let's go for broke next week in Marshall. We don't have a freshman quarterback. We have a guy that's been there for 4 years. We have a whole bunch of talent.
The coaching staff's going, you know, I've been okay with what everybody else has said, but now that Dave said this, oh, my God.
What?
Go ahead, Dave.
I'm just saying go for broke. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? You're 0-2. What do you have to lose?
I agree with you 100%. Throw out everything. I mean.
I would say we're not holding anything back now.
Well, that's my God.
Yes, we are. Playing to lose.
We did today. We were conservative on offense. The defense played out of their mind considering what we've had in the past. They played great. I tell you one thing, if the offense could match the defense, we would be competing for a championship in the American this year.
Playing conservative on offense may have been the right plan, but you need to go Skip Holtz conservative. You need to be all in on it. Skip Holtz wouldn't call that, middle screen.
All the way.
Well, we'd have won today. But I agree with you next week against Marshall. We need to come up with something creative. We need to find a way to beat Marshall because if we're 0-3, nobody's going to give a crap about beating Charleston Southern. The boys might enjoy it, but nobody's going to give a crap about it.
If we're 0-3, we'll all be happy to win one.
I don't care about Charleston Southern.
We need it. If you do the math,
then you got Tulane after that. Tulane's playing. I don't know what they did today. That's another score. Has anybody seen the Tulane score? They looked good against Oklahoma last week. Tulane's a good football team. Houston.
Tulsa only lost by 5, I think, to Oklahoma State today.
They who what now, huh?
Tulsa.
Who are they playing?
Oklahoma State.
Okay. Well, Tulane won today 69-20. They were playing Morgan State. Nonetheless, 69-20. Tulane's got a good offense. Based on week 1 and week 2.
Hey, guys.
Go ahead.
Our good buddy Matt Semenza puts, besides the very first play, how many?
Hey, Matt, how about that over-under? well, go ahead and say what Matt said.
No, he said, besides the very first play, how many vertical shots did we take? Zero. Hello. None. Hello,
but McFly. But we might have had them called on those sacks. I'm not sure.
Keep going for it. That's the thing is you can't be more conservative and play not to lose. You lose every time you play not to lose. I don't buy that a bit.
I wasn't just saying we were trying to take run clock off them, but I'm not saying we were playing conservatively.
If we were playing Alabama, the only way you have a chance to win is to run as much clock as you can. But playing South Carolina, we had a chance to win today. That's the thing. Alabama, we have like no shot to win. I mean,
here's what Terry's saying. Our game plan would have worked had we not thrown the damn pick. Bottom line.
Maybe.
Execution.
It would have.
Offensive play execution.
It would have. Our game plan would have worked.
We did execute today. So
it still, in my opinion, was a crappy game plan, but it would have worked and it would have got us the W.
And if we'd have won, it would have been a great game plan.
No, I wouldn't have liked it anyway. I'd
have liked it.
I would have taken the win. I would have celebrated the win. And been thrilled we beat South Carolina, but I would not think we were going to beat Marshall next week. So, or Tulane.
I would have enjoyed the victory over South Carolina.
Oh, I would have enjoyed the victory. Huge. Hey, look, Terry, I brought a cooler full of beer. I was going to go hang out in the parking lot with Dave and Bubba and whoever else wanted to hang out after the game if we won. But being we lost, I hit it home. I did get something to eat first, and I hit it home. But
where's the beer?
Beer's in the fridge. I had a mixed drink at Cheddar's, and I came home and drank one beer and fell asleep. So didn't too much drinking get done. There's a lot of questions to be answered on offense, and unfortunately, guys, I think we're in for a long year.
Just remember, it's game 2.
Yeah, it is. You're right, but and I think there's pieces there to be fixed, but it's just I don't know how many more of these long years we can take. You don't want to get into a situation with musical coaches, but boy, I tell you,
if I really believe next year could be a whole new horizon, but you got to get there.
That's right. And when you think about it, there's a lot of guys like when App had their super seniors this year. If we can somehow find a way to go to a bowl this year, there's a lot of guys that can come back next year.
We need to find a way to win one.
Good old.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying there are winnable games. I'm not bailing on the season. But you have to have the way you start winning is by focusing on your next game, and that's Marshall.
Look, we can talk about trying to get to a bowl if we upset Marshall next week. Right now, I don't toilet bowl. What I saw today. Offensively, the last 2 weeks offensively, it ain't capable of getting us to no bowl. Unfortunately, I'd love to know what Mike Eustace is thinking right now. Does he say, hey, what am I doing offensively? This ain't working. Or does he think he's headed down the right path? Some people are very stubborn. And I said a lot of this, and I say it again, I said a lot of this to Chris on our preview show, that I figured we would lose this game because of what we're trying to do on offense. And I said that I thought South Carolina would come in, and if old Zeb played quarterback, that they would be one-dimensional, and that Zeb would make mistakes, and that we would have a chance to win. But could we do it because of what Houston was trying to do on offense? And, boy, if I didn't nail it.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Well, guess what? Hey, it's like Elvis. I'm going to do my Elvis right now. It's now or never. And like I said, go for broke. You can. I'm just saying it over and over again. So hopefully somebody, hey, guess what?
What do you mean by go for broke?
I think that just what, like you talked about, you and I are saying different. We're saying the same things differently. What I'm saying is we need to pretend like that our season's on the line next week because, hey, you can't just keep saying, well, guys, we've got a lot of games left. Guys, we got a lot of games with, and then they go to the middle of the season. Oh God, we only have 4 or 5 games left.
But what do you? I mean, from an offensive standpoint, how do you fix it next week? What do you do?
Well, like I said, you look at your strengths, what you have. You have a scheme that matches the players that you have.
Well, we can't change our scheme in a week.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying like to throw 50,000 plays at them at one time. I'm just saying, but there are some things that you can do with the players we have. If we didn't have talent, we're trying to master.
Oh, there's lots of things you can do with the players we have. But if you, from a scheme standpoint, you kind of got to run what you've practiced. So, is there plays in the scheme? You know, I've seen it in the past. SMU game, for example, that there is ways to open this offense up more. Is what you're talking about.
Like Matt, like our friend Matt Semenza said. They don't run the zone read. I mean, you got a guy like Holton Ahlers that can run that.
Yeah, I said that earlier. Yes, that's in our playbook. Run more of that. Yeah. So what you're trying to say is we need to look in our playbook, find some plays that we have in the system that is more conducive to our talent, and run those plays.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying to throw out our, you know, don't throw out the baby.
Oh, I think it needs to be completely thrown out, but you just can't do that in 1 week.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, but I'm just saying that we got to do something, right? I mean,
yeah. I think we have 2 good running backs, and I think we need to be more creative about how they get the ball in their hands more. Roger Harris and Keaton Mitchell are both good running backs. Absolutely. And I think we need to be more creative about how we get the ball in their hands more. And I think having Holton pull it, because we do have 2 good running backs and running more zone read. And let me tell you something else. The kid from South Carolina, what's his name? The quarterback,
Garcia,
has the ability to run zone read. If Holton has got some concussion issues, you may be better off at least rotating Garcia in some to give us that look. If you're uncomfortable doing with Holton a lot, you don't. You can play 2 quarterbacks. Playing 2 quarterbacks.
What? Stubblefield too. Isn't he from Houston? He knows how to run the zone read. If my memory serves me right, he's a one hell of an athlete.
I mean, you can play 2 quarterbacks. I mean, at this point, I wouldn't be against that to change up the look.
Couldn't you get Stubblefield to run the Wildcat? Like I'm saying, like specific plays, like a play here.
I don't know how athletic Stubblefield is. Is he our most athletic quarterback?
He's very athletic. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I thought Garcia was our most athletic quarterback. But, you know, hey, for that matter, can Keaton Mitchell take snaps? Let's put him in at Wildcat. I mean, we need something to a change of pace. Josh
O'Neill says split snaps.
Yeah. I mean, not 50-50, but no. Playing more than one quarterback at this point might not be a bad idea.
Hey, right now, like I said, because if you go down 0-3 and then you say Marshall and you have Charleston Southern, you go 1-3, then you have the Tulane game, you could say 1-4. I mean, if you're not careful, that's half the season right there. Almost, right? I mean, so you do the math, it's going to be very, very difficult to go.
We have Tulane, Houston, and UCF all three in a row.
Right. So the games after that are winnable games, but you have to go through the toughest games minus the Cincinnati game, which is very hard. Then that's our Thanksgiving gift. But if you look at the games right
Temple, as I saw earlier, I don't know what the final ended up being, but they had a bounce back today. They beat the crap out of Akron. Not that that's saying a lot, but it's an FBS opponent.
They needed that. Yeah. No doubt. Like we needed South Carolina today. So,
here's the disappointing thing about not getting the South Carolina win. If you won today and you take care of Charleston Southern, that would have been 2-2 to start the year. Even if we'd have lost all those games we just talked about, then you come back and you have that streak where you're playing Navy, Temple, right, South Florida all in a row. Yep. Then bam, you could have got to 5 wins, and then you got 2 shots to pull off an upset against Memphis and Cincinnati to get to a bowl. So now we've really dug ourselves a hole, and
you got to win 2 straight, baby. You got to win 2 straight.
I'm not feeling I don't feel very confident about our chances to beat Marshall.
So you think we're going to Huntington? We're going to lay an egg? You're right. If the offense plays like they did today, there might be, you know, when people are saying 4-8.
Just so everybody knows, where you're watching us, if you're watching on Facebook, if that's where you're watching this show, that's where you'll watch the Marshall game next week, because Conference USA's television deal is ridiculous. And the Marshall game is being streamed on Facebook. On Facebook.
Yep.
So get ready.
The next 2 weeks, by the way, folks, are at 6:00. 6:00 next week in Huntington against Marshall. And then we have the Charleston Southern game is also a 6:00 game at Dowdy-Ficklin for the next 2 weeks. So just remember 6 p.m. the next 2 weeks.
Facebook.
All right, how about this from Richard Allsbrook? Okay, talk about systems. 2 prior ECU quarterbacks left. Minshew and Benkert both left and had success in other systems, right?
Oh, that's very, very true. Yes. Benkert would have been successful under
Scotty ran him away.
Yeah. Well, he would have been successful under Ruffin's system. Had Benkert been here, Dave Nickel would have been fine. Hell, if we'd have had Nelson under Nickel, he would have been fine. We'd had Minshew under Nickel, he would have been fine. He went to UVA and did well, and got his guard on Minshew, got out of here and turned it into an NFL career. So, yeah, your offensive coordinator and what you're running can make a huge difference in how you look as a quarterback. So, and I'm going to be honest with you, and God knows the losses we had under Scotty Montgomery were ridiculous, but there were times our offense looked 100 times better under Montgomery than it has under Houston. I mean, I'm telling you, I hate to say it, but it's true.
Well, we're going to have to definitely it's such a cliche, but going back to the drawing board.
Me and Bubba were talking earlier today. All Houston does is not get blown out at this point. All he does is not get blown out. Our teams play hard, and they're competitive, but we still lose. We just lose more competitively than we did under Montgomery.
So we have to do now is we've gone from being god-awful to competitive, and now
This is year three.
The
building process on offense is not happening. What we're doing on offense is broken, period.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm just saying that it's
we could be winning with the right offense. We could look, if we just had a so-so offense, we'd be 1-1 right now, and feeling pretty good about our shot at Marshall.
We definitely are on the same page, all of us on this show, that we should have won today. There's no excuses that we didn't win. And so what we're saying is just go, we're going to go for it and do whatever we have to do, right?
That's right. We lose Terry?
Yep. He said, got to go. Go Pirates! Arrgh! I'll do that for Captain Bunk. So appreciate you, Captain Bunk and Alan Thomas tonight for sure. I tell you what, disappointed, but I'm still a Pirate. We're going to be rooting hard next week.
I think we beat this horse to death.
I'll leave you with this, Kyle and Bubba, if you want to chime in before we go. And I appreciate all the great, we've got so many great listeners and Pirate fans and viewers commenting tonight. Let's see. Let me put one more comment from Josh O'Neill. Dave, I agree. There's a jazz within the coaching staff to make this year bowl eligible. So we're gonna find a way. It sucks. I hate losing to South
Carolina. Yeah, you know what? And that's something I don't like, actually. I heard Holton talk after the Appalachian State game about getting to six. We got to get to six. Look, let me tell you something.
Get to 12.
Yeah, exactly. Skip Holtz used to say, some people are scared to shoot for the moon because they're scared they might miss and hit the stars. Or you shoot for the stars, you're scared you might miss and hit the moon. The goal shouldn't be get to six. The goal should be let's win 12. Let's win the conference championship.
Because if you win 12, if you say you're going to win 12, you win 9. If you say you're going to win
3. Yeah, exactly. So I don't like that that's the goal. If you want to have a goal board and that be one of your goals, that's fine. But that shouldn't be the ultimate goal. Oh, my God, 6 wins. We've made it now. I mean, it's for a fan, from a fan standpoint. I think that was our realistic expectations for this year. But I don't like that coming out of our players' mouths.
Hey, you remember Terry? And I remember when Brian Bailey asked Joe Dooley, how many wins do you think we're going to get this year? And he said, all of them. How many games are you going to win this year? He said, all of them. That was his
expectation. I remember when Ruffin McNeil was about to play Tulsa in game one, and he was asked, right before the end of spring camp and in the fall camp, he said, what's the realistic expectation for game one against Tulsa? And Ruff said, to win. So, I mean, it's, you know.
Yep.
But anyway.
Bubba, do you have anything?
No.
Well, we're going to have, I can tell everybody, next week, obviously, we'll have a few shows, including next week we'll have our Pirate preview as we're going to be going at Marshall. We'll have that. And of course our Pirate playback, right, Bubba?
All right.
It's Gary.
Who's scored?
Yeah. That means the Apps took the lead. The Apps just took the lead on Miami.
All right. I'm happy about that. good for them. And definitely a program that continues to be on the rise. So Appalachian State.
Hey, Bob, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Let's say Coach goes 2-10 this year, and then let's say what's App State's old head coach at Louisville's name? I can't think of it right now.
Scott Satterfield.
If Satterfield, let's say he goes 4-8 at Louisville and they fire him, would you hire him in East Carolina?
I would definitely. I mean, he'd definitely be on the list for sure.
Yep. All right.
All right, guys. Well, appreciate everybody. Thank you to all the viewers. Listeners.
Tell me that wouldn't add an element to that rivalry. Sorry, Dave.
Boy, it sure would. And I'm gonna tell you what.
Not that it needs anything, but if that happened, can you imagine?
Wow.
They do not like him at Louisville. The fan base. That's kind of why I think a lot of his assistants left. He tried to get the South Carolina job, and those Louisville fans turned on him like rabid dogs. And that's when a lot of his assistants left after that. They see the writing on the wall. So if he doesn't turn it around this year, I bet you they fire him. That's the reason I asked that question.
And then Petrino, he had a kind of a deal all those years ago with Auburn, and then they brought him back.
Yeah.
Because I think that's when he had a deal with Auburn, And then after that, I guess it's when he went to the Falcons, and then he went to Arkansas, then to West, or excuse me, to I guess to to Arkansas, and then Western Kentucky, and then back to Louisville.
Yep. So I you know, it'll be interesting how things play out there with them. We got to. I hope, look, believe you me, I hope to God we ain't talking about do we need to fire Houston. I hope he turns it around. But it'll be interesting to see how things play out. And if it came down to that, if Satterfield was out there, I think he'd be worth giving a look, because I think even 5-7 at Louisville this year, they might get rid of him. Their fans just do not like him.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out. And Bubba, do you have anything?
Yeah, just very quickly around the American, UCF's crushing Bethune-Cookman, as you would expect, 49-14, late third quarter. Memphis is winning a shootout with Arkansas State, another Sun Belt matchup there for the American. 48-36 Tigers with 11 minutes left in the game. SMU 21-12 over North Texas. Surprised to set low scoring with 14 minutes left in the ball game. Hey. Oklahoma State once again struggled with Tulsa, but the Cowboys won 28-23. Florida defeated South Florida 42-20 in Tampa.
Well, that'll be a hell of a Thursday night game. Who can?
And that game was not nearly as close as that score indicated.
South Florida has not scored this year. They didn't score on NC State either.
Hey guys,
South Florida scored 20 points.
Did they score on it? Okay, it was halftime. They were okay. I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
How about the game that I was interested in, and I've looked double checked the score. All those people talking about how great Texas is. All those people. Every year we hear about how Texas is coming.
I don't think anybody thought Texas is going to be that great this year, new head coach. But what are you talking about?
The Arkansas, a lot of people said that they were going to beat Arkansas. It's 40-14. Arkansas is beating Texas. So I thought it was going to be a tight game and Arkansas would win. But it's 40-14 in the fourth quarter. That was one of the ones that I was looking at this week where I couldn't believe that people were – just so high on Texas.
Arkansas didn't look good in week one. They struggled with Rice. I believe they were looking ahead to Texas, and I think that shows down.
Yeah, well, I didn't expect to see that score, so I expected Arkansas to win more of a close one, like a real struggle like we had today with South Carolina. But man, that's I don't know. I'm not a Texas hater, but I just get tired of hearing about every year they're going to be back. They're going to be back. They're going to be back, and they're going to change their coaches like they do their underwear. That's why I hope we give our coach more than just 3 years. We'll see how that goes.
Comes down to contracts, Dave. Comes down to contracts. I mean, if you give him 3 years and, you know, you're leaving him, if you give him year number four, if he has a terrible year this year, then you're going to have to either fire him or extend him after year number four for sure. But that's the problem. After 3 years, when you have a coach.
So he only has a four-year deal?
It's a 5-year deal, but you can't coach. But you can't leave a coach left with 1 year left on their contract. You can't do that. You're killing them. They can't recruit. Let's say he's horrible this year, but we give him one more year. Okay, he's got to have a winning season in year four, or he's going to have to be fired. That's what I'm
saying.
Yeah,
right. We're saying the same thing again.
Yeah, but even after year three, if you're recruiting. And you just went 3-9 after for a third straight year. They're going to use that against you. You know, your coach is going to be fired next year. Your coach is going to be fired. So is that? That's what's the problem. The problem is he needs to win more than three games. My God, I mean,
I agree with that.
I mean, this should not be a conversation. We are, you know, it ain't like we're playing Alabama and Texas A&M. This is year three. And by year three, if he can't win more than three games, then to hell with him. I mean, I'm sick of it, man. I've been so nice about this the whole time by my standards. And
that's true.
I believe Coach East is a good coach. I believe if he got fired here, he'd go to an FCS job and win again. But what he's trying to do here, look, what he did at the Citadel, he run the triple option. I don't know why he's doing what he's doing on offense here. I don't know if he's just lost his ever-loving mind. Be more creative on offense, coaches. Let's let's try to turn this thing around. And I don't know. I ran out of things to say. All right. It's a long season. Hopefully this conversation will not be taking place in November. And we'll be talking about how we turned it around at Marshall and, you know, went on to have a decent season.
All right. Well, I appreciate Bubba. Do you want to do a couple more scores?
Bubba's gone, unless he's going to post them on screen.
All right. And so about John Gilbert next week. Hopefully we'll have him.
Yeah, he might see the show and so I don't want to come on.
All right, let's get out of here. Hey, again, thank you to Alan Thomas, our great friend, former mayor of Greenville, and Terry Gallagher had to go, former wide receiver for the Pat Dyer. Bubba, Kyle, man, thanks, dude. Appreciate you so much.
Yep.
And we'll see how things go next week with Marshall. We'll have a lot of great content next week. Keep it right here. And until next time, you've been watching and listening to the Pirate Playback right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. And always go Pirates.